Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Teach Me to Talk with Laura and Kate. I'm Laura Mize, pediatric speech-language pathologist, and Kate Hensler is missing in action. I hope she'll call really, really soon and just jump in here whenever she's ready. I think she might be on now.
Officially jumping in. My clock says 5:59.
You got to speed that baby up.
I'm looking at the computer. You would think that would be an accurate time.
I think it must be a few minutes ahead because every week I keep speeding my kitchen clock up because it just must be, it's just
it's
a minute or
fast,
too fast.
I know.
Yeah.
It's the New York
thing. Well, I'm
glad you
made
it. This is the New York thing, so they're on fast time.
And we're slow.
New Louisville time. Well, I guess people listening know I'm Kate. I'm late Kate, as the case may be. I apologize. I'm a developmental interventionist with the First Steps program in Louisville, Kentucky, and privileged to have known Laura and worked with Laura for a long time. So as they learn, I learn. I learn with them.
Oh, very, very sweet of you to say. Completely unsolicited, but thank you
very
much.
Very true, very true. And tonight's topic kind of highlights that, so we'll share that.
Yeah, but before we get going with that, let's do all of our normal stuff. How is, give us the countdown on the Dream House. Is it this week?
I don't know if it's this week or not. I think I've shared with you our trauma of having a really cool island that is the hole is too small for a standard dishwasher.
Yeah, so has that turned out to be bad?
We really haven't resolved it yet. So I was off running and measuring dishwashers at Sears just before this, frantically saying, how many inches do we need?
Oh, my goodness.
So we're still trying to solve that. But everything else is coming along beautifully, and it looks like we're definitely going to make our April closing. Our extended date was the end of April. So we're going to make that, and it's looking awesome, and it's really getting exciting. So that's where we are on that.
Well, I will have personal revelations to share next week after I go by and see it tomorrow. With or without you, I'm just going to go tomorrow.
Please do. Just walk in and say, I'm a friend of Kate's, and all those guys will say, oh, okay, come on in.
Well, good. Well, it's winding down, so that's the important part. I can't wait till you have your move-in date, though. And the first time you do the show from the house, that'll be really cool.
That'll be a big one. I don't know where it will come to you from, but somewhere in the lodge there'll be somebody talking to Blog Talk Radio. So.
That's pretty funny. All right, let me do my normal little stuff. I am so excited about the Tennessee tour, which is Wednesday, May 18th in Chattanooga, Thursday, May 19th in Knoxville, and Friday, May 20th in Nashville. So please, 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 if you're in Tennessee, come out to see me. You can find more information about those dates at teachmetotalk.com. And the book is turning out to be like the house. On the countdown,
the unabridged version. Yeah.
The issues, the multiple issues, but I think I resolved a lot of those at the end of this week, and it's going to be the pre-sale should start, I hope, in the next 3 or 4 weeks, so I'm excited about that. And I'll talk more about that as we go along today with today's topics, because several things that we're going to talk about are actually pretty big, important sections in my new book, which is Teach Me to Talk, the Therapy Manual. So I'll be putting my little 2 cents worth in and talking about the book at the appropriate times on that. But let's start tonight where we left off a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about one of your sweet little babies on your caseload. Did we say her name before? Will her mom object to us saying her name?
I did, because I had not cleared it ahead of time with mom.
Okay.
It was kind of I think we had an absence of a caller that night, and it was like, okay, this is my opportunity to ask my real-life question, because I'd been meaning to ask it. And so we'll just stick with a sweet little baby that I see. Mom does know after the fact that I talked about it, and she didn't seem the least bit upset about that. In fact, she was happy to have feedback from you. So anyway, that situation was, I think, as I described it, a little girl who Well, we're coming up on her 6-month review, so I've seen her nearly 6 months, and she, to me, although does not have an official diagnosis from a real-life speech-language pathologist, she, in many, many ways, and I don't know that it's necessary to go into those, but in my humble opinion, she appears to be apraxic. And
she doesn't have a speech licensed speech pathologist on her team. You are the speech pathologist in your role as developmental interventionist on her team, right?
That's correct. That's what I mean.
Okay.
She does not have an official diagnosis. She just had lowly old Kate trying to play speech therapist more than once a week with her.
Over many, many, many speech therapists that I've known, but we won't even go there either.
Thank you. And I have really, honestly, thanks to you, at least originally, initially, worked with lots of apraxic kids, and so that is a population that I'm pretty comfortable serving at least 99% of the time. I feel like, oh, I get this, I know what to do with this, and normally what I do works. And where I was with her is, you know, what I had done had worked. We had just kind of plateaued as far as progress in therapy.
But, you know, that's an indicator of that apraxia is probably a really accurate diagnosis for her, because so many of our kids that we suspect have those motor planning formally, you know, that's what we would call it. We would call it apraxia. That's one of the clinical indicators, is that they plateau in progress. They may make a lot of progress and then stay stuck for weeks or sometimes even months. So just you saying that makes it, you know, it falls right into line with your clinical impression of her, that she is apraxic. So just wanted to throw that in there.
Right. So where we were when I finally blurted out my question was, she has kind of a nice core vocabulary of single words that she uses spontaneously. Pretty much, you know, the vast majority, if not all of them, have been words that I have pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and they're kind of like your go-to, what words
right.
you start with kind of words, tend to be relatively simple for kids to say, and words that kids naturally use early on anyway. And so she had that going, and that was going pretty well. And she also is kind of a kid who will overuse those over and over and over because she has them.
Yeah.
And she
right.
can see sometimes, she's a darling, she's a fun kid to play with, but she's sometimes hard to get to move past. I mean, she's frequently hard to get move past that comfort zone. Once she got them, it's like, wow,
right.
you know, once she got them spontaneously, I was pretty tickled. And then after a while began to think, that's really what she's saying. I'm not really getting too much beyond that, even
right.
though I was continuing to try. And I think, you know, well, anyway, I'll go to that later. Anyway, so that's where we were. And I said to you on air for everybody to listen, okay, Laura, I think I'm stuck, and I think she's stuck. What do you suggest here as a – you know, where do I go from here? I tried other words but wasn't having too much success. For sure I wasn't as kind of deliberate about looking at the words she had, and that's kind of where you picked up. I said,
right.
what can I do? And you said, why don't you send me her core vocabulary list that she's using spontaneously, and I'll look at that and see what I can come up with as a game plan for the future. And that happened, maybe 3 weeks ago, Laura? About that,
yeah.
yeah.
It probably was 3 weeks ago because we had the caller last week, and then we were off a week because we were watching that silly basketball. So I think it was 3 weeks ago from tonight. So show number tonight, if anybody's listening and you want to go back and hear what we're talking about, tonight is show number 109. So that would have been show number 107 or 106. So if anybody's listening, you know, we get lots of people who don't listen when we're live. They listen when they're working out, or they listen as they're driving between kids, or they listen as just kind of another, their routine time later in the week. So if anybody's listening and you want to go back and hear.
We get lots of callers who listen to us while they're driving to therapy sessions, which I think is
yeah.
fun. And see, I'm so low-tech. My daughter recently was telling me, well, Mom, they just put it on there. Is it their iPod? Is it they do it off of iTunes, and it's very easy?
Yeah.
Apparently she does it,
yeah.
And I didn't even know that she did it. She said, well, I'm sure that's what they do. I thought it was like a big deal to do it, and she's laughing at me because apparently it's
well,
quite
it would
easy.
It would be a big deal.
It would be a huge deal for me to do it. I can tell you that right now. But anyway, so you so graciously looked at those words. I don't know if you want you want me to talk about what words I said she had or how you want to go over this, Laura.
Well, I think just kind of generally talking about how do you pick vocabulary targets when you're in a situation like this, how do you walk through that process of thinking, okay, this kid is stuck, where do I go from here, what do we do? So I always use some kind of informal guidelines to help me decide, okay, what other words would be good for us to target. And so when I look at these things, I first of all do what I had or what I asked Kate to do, and what she did is to really sit down and make a list of the words that a kid already uses. And we've been calling that her core vocabulary list, not a list of words that you've heard her say once or words that she's imitated one time 3 months ago, but words that she actually says week to week to week on her own and in official therapist jargon or lingo, that would be a spontaneous word, a word that she owns, that she uses frequently in her vocabulary. So that's step one, is to write down the list of words that she has. So that's what you did. And then after you write those down, and again, this is Speech Therapy 101 for any speech pathologists that are listening, but we have a following of people who do your job, Kate, that are developmental interventionists and who might not be accustomed to thinking about words in this way. But then once you get the core words written down, you group them into categories based on the similarities in the words. And for a toddler like this, I usually start by looking at initial vowel sounds, or you could organize them by, initial sounds. You could organize them then by whether they're an initial vowel sound to start with or an initial consonant sound. And then once you group them that way, you group them based on where those sounds are produced in the mouth. And again, for speech pathologists listening, I can just feel people rolling their eyes right now saying, okay, you're really going to go to the trouble of explaining that? No, not really. But consonants, we group them as speech pathologists based on where they're made in the mouth. And our lip sounds, we call those bilabial. So then I would take any word from that list that started with a bilabial, and again, those are P, B, and M, and kind of make a little list from there, and then look at words that start with sounds made in the middle of the mouth, and that would be our alveolar sounds, and those would be T, D, and N. And again, I can just picture some women right now saying, huh, what is she talking about? You know, especially moms. Don't worry about the theory behind it. Just kind of listen for a minute. Then I would take sounds like H and W that are also early developing consonant sounds and see if she had any of those. Then we would look for sounds made at the back of the mouth, which would be K's and G's. And again, when we write that phonetically, a K is the same sound as a C. So we would go with words that started with C. Then we would kind of group it into maybe looking at words that were multi-syllable words, the words that have more than one syllable, look at what she has from there. And then you might look if there were any later developing sounds, which she happened to have, a couple of words that started with S or that start with S and then even a word that starts with SH. Even if she doesn't produce it like that, you still kind of look at that because she has the ability to approximate that sound in whatever form. So that's kind of what you do is you start with what you have, and you start to see if there are patterns there. And this is what you meant, Kate, by being intentional and purposeful and a little bit more structured with thinking, you know, where do I go from there? And, again, this is how I would hope most speech pathologists would approach it. was looking at what she already has, because the theory would be that it would be easier to move then not to a completely different pattern, but to start with what you know that she can already do, because it's more likely that she would be successful from there. So we organized her words into those categories, and she had some nice patterns emerging, didn't she? She had lots of different categories when you looked, when you broke it down like that.
Yes, she did. More than, see, like you said, I'm not usually, I kind of, I guess because I've learned from you, and I think for the most part, I generally know what to do next. I don't always understand the theory or the, you know, the rationale as far as what part of the mouth. I mean, those things I kind of get, but as far as typically what I would do with a child with this is think, okay, we're kind of getting stuck, branch out, and just kind of go to my next go-to words. And typically that works, you know. So this was kind of one where it's like, okay, it's not necessarily working the way it normally does. And that's why I said to you, Laura, give your speech-language pathologist spin on this, which you did. And I would not have known to really look at them that specifically. Even if I could have broken them down that way, I frankly didn't even really know to do it that way. I normally don't have the problem of getting stuck there. So it's not really something that I've looked at for in the future. If the next kid, and I'm sure there'll be one at some point where he or she's kind of getting stuck, and I'll know to look at it this way. So.
Yeah, and if we had a kid, say like you were, the other way that you do this is if you have a kid that only has a certain number of vowels, like they could only do maybe an or say another easier one, which would be like an something that's kind of a central easy vowel, then you would think, okay, what words can I find that are like that? So again, the theory would be you start from what would be easier for them to achieve and produce and move from there. That being said, though, you have to, and again, if somebody has been a school speech pathologist or worked with older kids, you know, they're thinking, oh, I know what I would do. I would just go to my flashcards, and I would just select all the flashcards that have the pattern that you're going to target. You know, if she can do a T and a D, well, then I'm going to get my alveolar flashcards, and I'm going to look for words. That doesn't always work with babies, because sometimes those flashcards are really low-frequency, unfamiliar words. So you have to be able to think like this as far as sounds go, but not forget our common sense approach in that we're going to pick a word that a toddler would use and would understand, so that you're not just basing it on sound categories alone. But that, and what you said, your point about my next little go-to set of words, that really is how we should all think in terms of it being a word that a kid would, again, use and understand, a word that would make sense in a toddler's vocabulary. I love that you have your own little mental list of what you do like that, because then you don't get stuck doing something crazy that somebody else might with a little more theory, a little more knowledge of theory, and then have a two-year-old looking at them like, and the mom looking at you like, I don't know why you're working on that word, because I haven't even, you know, I'm 36 and haven't used that word before, and I doubt my two-year-old's going to use it. Because, you know, when you look at some of those flashcards, Kate, and you probably don't own a lot of those, but my speechy friends might look through some of those flashcards, or, heaven forbid, a worksheet, you know, that's targeting a specific pattern, and try to do word selection from there for toddlers, and that doesn't work. So you have to be able to think about it in just kind of the common sense. Is this a word a two-year-old would say, or a one-year-old? I don't even know how old this little girl is. I assume she's two, right?
Yeah, she came in relatively late.
I remember you saying that now.
Yeah, and she'll be three in August. So we're, you know, in first steps, we're in early intervention world. We're kind of, that's, I think, why it was kind of, well, we had a meeting coming up, and that made me think, okay, where are we? Maybe we need to put the pedal to the metal here and, you know, turn up the gas, because we are pushing three. And really, she's has never been, she's made steady progress, but it from at no point did I think, ooh, this is going to be a slam dunk. I have had to always, she's kind of a low arousal, very mild-mannered little thing. And, you know, I went in from day one using the high-energy, woo-hoo-hoo, fun approach. And it was funny. And the mom's delightful, really great. But early on she said to me, oh, and she's kind of mild-mannered herself. She said, oh, well, if that's what she really needs to help her talk, I'm not too surprised because we don't really ever play like that, you know.
Yeah.
And I was doing boom, and I was doing bam, and I was doing wee, and she's like, woohoo. But for her, as it does with, you know, almost all the Praxis kids, it did work. You know, that is what she needed. But
So
she's never been an easy, I mean, not one of these words came easily, I have to say.
You had to really work, and you had to really think when you were playing.
Yes, and constantly remind myself, ratchet it up, ratchet it up, ratchet it up.
Right.
Because she's a kid who needs constant excitement to get anything out, really. Not as much anymore, but, boy, early on.
At
and
the
even
beginning,
still, yeah.
Yeah,
she still needs, you know, it's not, her words at her core words, she pops out pretty easily now. But as far as getting anything new or keeping her going for the hour, it's as much reminding myself, pick it up, move along, move, you know, stay in front of her, get her moving, because she is a low, quiet. She's not so quiet anymore. She, as a matter of fact, when I'm not there, she uses, I guess, mom always, she doesn't do it when I'm there, so it's interesting, but she says she, quote, unquote, talks all the time. To be honest, I don't know if she's using jargon, or it's word. I think they're word approximations, and they're so far off that mom, a lot of times doesn't know
what she's talking about. Yeah. Do you think it's jargon? Can she do jargon yet?
You know, she doesn't use jargon with me now. I would say that earlier on, I heard a little bit, but she's kind of one of those kids who. Well, mom says even now she has long periods where she's pretty quiet. You know, and when I started, she was almost always quiet, you know, just...
Right, looking at you.
Yeah, big eyes, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah. So,
I've never met that little girl, but I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, she's one of the, you know, and I don't know. I honestly don't know because I haven't heard much of it at all in a while. I suspect at this point, knowing where she is developmentally, knowing where she is language-wise, I would have to guess their word approximations.
Right.
And they're very off-target, and mom, you know, doesn't necessarily... She knows her core words. Those are pretty good now. But if she's saying anything else, I'm guessing mom's thinking, what? She said she talks all day long. I just don't know what she's saying.
Right. So she's trying, and it just doesn't match so that mom... She's not consistent enough for mom to have identified what that word approximation might be. And it could be that she's just vocalizing. And
could be.
Not really. She knows she's supposed to talk, but doesn't have the vocabulary to put it in there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So what we did is we took her words, and let's just start out by the words that she had. I looked at her initial vowel words first because kids that are apraxic usually really struggle with vowel sounds, and so it's pretty important that we build on the vowel sounds they have. Let me say one thing really quickly. I was thinking about this earlier, and I meant to tie it in, but I didn't. Okay, when you read theory about speech sound selection and intelligibility targets and articulation, phonological patterns, blah, 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 whatever you want to call it, some therapists feel like I do, okay, we're going to go with what she already has and pick new words based on those sounds. Some therapists, and particularly with those therapists who work with children that are older than our babies, our toddlers, they are in the camp that's kind of the different side of the coin. They feel that, okay, you should really start with words that have sounds that the kid doesn't have, because when it comes in one or two target words that you pick, it might generalize to a whole lot of other words that either they're going to add newer words with that sound or clean up their word approximations that nobody can understand. And so intelligibility might get a bigger bump by introducing a completely new sound. But again, I think that that makes a lot of sense if you're working with a 4 or a 5-year-old rather than a 2-year-old. Can you see how I would think that, Kate?
Absolutely. I mean,
yeah. And so I think about, you know, I sit around thinking about this stuff a lot, and especially in the midst of a session, and I'll think, okay, am I going to go ahead and go with this completely new sound that I have never even heard, even what could be considered an approximation, or am I going to try to go with another word that might be a little bit similar, that might be easier to say? I'm going to default for easier to say every, 99% of the time with a late-talking toddler because I want them to feel successful. And I want to get as close as I can to a real word so that mom and dad will understand what they're trying to say versus the scenario that you're describing with your little friend who is trying her best to talk, but mom doesn't always get what she means. So I wanted to throw that out there, that there's a whole other rationale for why you would introduce sounds that a kid doesn't have. But again, I think that's more appropriate for children who are further along in the process, in the therapeutic process. Excuse me, I don't know if you heard me burp or not on air, but anyway.
But now we're all aware.
Well, I wasn't going to say excuse me, and then I thought, nobody heard that. And then I thought, oh, maybe they did, and that's kind of rude. I didn't say that anyway. But I wanted to just put that out there for therapists who are listening who might feel like, well, why wouldn't you do it the other way? Or does she not know this? Yeah, I know it, but I have really good reasons clinically for late-talking toddlers for why I think we should, a lot of the time, go for what we think they're going to be more successful with. And especially a little girl like this, because she hasn't been a great imitator. I mean, you've really had to work to get the words that you've gotten right.
Oh, yeah. She really had no words. And I'm going to say she was 27 months when we started.
So kind of a late referral, yeah.
Yeah, for whatever reason,
yeah.
I think it was a case where, you know, doctors said,
went for her checkup leg.
And, you know, grandparents said, don't worry, and na na na. And by the time it all happened, she was over 2 and really had no words. She did have a handful of signs because mom had somehow heard about signs and was using them a little bit. And she was quick on signs, so the motor planning for signs was pretty good.
That's great.
But the words, we really had nothing to work with. I mean, you know, it was like, she had some of the classic apraxic things. Well, one time 6 months ago, she said flamingo. I remember that was one of them. Really? Flamingo?
Oh my gosh,
that's interesting.
Wow.
Well, the neighbors had a 50th birthday and they had flamingos in the yard and she thought that was exciting, so her mom said they're flamingos and she said flamingos, so
because it was novel and her mom, she was excited,
she really had no true words that she used on anything
but
like
when
a
you,
consistent basis.
So when you look at that, Kate, versus all the different patterns she has now, because she's got, let's see, up, out, uh-oh, and eat, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4 different vowels that are fairly close for you to recognize that. She's got 4 different vowels right there with initial vowel words. She has words that all start with P, B, or M, some initial bilabials. She has T, D, and N, all words that can start with those. She has some initial H words, some initial W words. She has a pretty good variety of kind of our standard introductory 2-syllable words, and then she has the approximation of the S and the SH. So that's a lot of different patterns when you look at that. So you have done a great job pulling words from all those different categories, because now she's got a
even
solid
foundation. Even if I didn't really
foundation.
Know what categories they fell into, I got lucky on that.
That's why some of this is so great, because you don't have to understand the theory to make it work, you know? I mean, it helps if you understand the theory. Sometimes therapists get stuck on the theory, though, and again, they don't realize the whole common sense stuff that you do in that, oh boy, this word better make sense in context. I can't just sit and look at a bunch of pictures or just say, repeat after me, and have her get those words. You had to introduce every single one of these words in play when it made sense for her to do it, and you had to push her a little bit to get her that pleasantly pushing to get her to want to try. And so you did a great job with this initial, you know, I mean, I think if she had this many words by the end of your time with her, you should be patting yourself on the back going, man, I did great. But you've got another summer. You've got a whole other season with her left.
Wow, to give the last push. Yeah. I mean, I think that it's gone pretty well. It just, you know, the progress
is
kind
slow.
Of stalled out. And she was getting maybe better at holding on to those core words, and I was maybe slipping on, you know, I got to stay heavy.
Bump
I've got to pull you along. Yeah. And so.
Yeah.
And ultimately, talking to you and getting the feedback, I did feel good about a lot of the words, or you even suggested some simple two-word phrases.
Right, some holistic phrases,
A lot of those I really had done at some point, because they're all the ones you put on there were still part of our normal
your
go-to.
Standards.
Standard things. But, you know, I think it, and it also, I don't know if you want to go to this yet, but it seemed to really help mom, too, to have additional things to target and a list of, gee, she really does do all these, and these are things that would naturally perhaps be the next go-to things. It certainly helped me get a little bit more focused and a little bit more energized about, come on, follow me. You know, I'm not going to let you lead the each session with your core set of words that you've mastered.
Yeah, we're
going to
bump you up
that.
From there.
Yes, pretty good at that.
Okay, and so what you're talking about is, I've said those categories. So what we did then is I took initial vowel words and I wrote, she has these words, and the words, and you know, and I typed this out so Kate could have it and Mom could have it. And so it says initial vowel words. She has up, out, o, and e. And so then I suggested some other target words based on the sounds that she already has, based on our knowledge of what two-year-olds can typically say, and again, and what would be meaningful for them. And if you don't have any kind of reference for that, if you are a speech pathologist and use the Rossetti Infant Toddler Language Scale to evaluate children, Dr. Rossetti has a pretty good list in the manual for the test that you can look at early vocabulary. He's got that written there, so break out your test manual if you haven't looked at that in a long time. If you're a mom listening to this or an early interventionist and you don't have access to something like that, if you'll go on my website at teachmetotalk.com, in the sign language section, there's an article on the first 100 words. And really, we use that. I use that to talk about or to recommend which signs you would target first, but it's the same thing. You know, whether you're talking, whether you're signing, this would still be our kind of our core vocabulary list, again, based on what's familiar to toddlers, what words they would be more likely to use in their everyday lives. So pulled some from there, and then some, again, just kind of based on, okay, the stuff we talk about every week. What have been winners for us just in our little play routine? So because her initial vowel words were up, out, o, and eat, then I wrote some words that I thought that you should target. Off, in, o, ow, ouch, owie, you know, whatever version of that. Isn't it funny what sometimes a kid who doesn't have a final consonant at all can pop out, ouch, and you hear the ch on the end of that, and you think, where in the world did that come from? That's the way they're developing sound. Okay, we'll take it. What a gift.
Yeah.
You know, so any version of that. And then I suggested egg, because with the season that we're in with Easter eggs, that is a really fun activity for toddlers. I always love the first Easter that my own children were able to understand that we're going to hide these plastic Easter eggs and they were going to find them. So egg would be an early target. Because of that, I would be another good word. She doesn't necessarily have that long vowel sound yet, but that's okay because, again, she's got the pattern of opening her mouth and starting a word with a vowel. Arm might be another good one that you could get. And then my little silly aboom that I – that little game that I play. Harder ones that I suggested that you might try would be, and I'm sure you probably tried these already, but maybe sometimes I think we think, oh, she can't do that, when it might have been 2 or 3 months ago that we tried a word and haven't really recycled it or tried it again. So those words that I suggested were apple, open, and Elmo, and then holistic phrases that start with a vowel. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, wow, oh, no. And so that was just kind of the process. You take what she has, you look at those patterns and think, okay, what are some other words based on high frequency, normal toddler development, vocabulary words, and pull from there, and then take any other kind of fun words that we, again, know in the past have worked, and then you look again for simplicity phonetically, meaning that it's going to be easier for her to pronounce. So we did that with all the patterns that I previously had talked about. With bilabial, she had bubble, bye-bye, bed, bath, baby for baby, ball, and even backpack, which is a great word that I think kids a lot of times all think, I cannot believe he just said that.
That always shocks me. Thank heavens for the Cookie Monster toy that we have, Laura. That's how I always get backpack. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Backpack.
Yeah. And a lot of two-year-olds have backpacks because they either go to a little preschool program or Mother's Day Out, or their older siblings have a backpack and they have cajoled their moms into wanting one and getting one too. And that's usually one of the first two-syllable words I get, you know, besides mama, dad, dad, you know, bye-bye. Backpack is a word that I have for lots of my kids pretty early on. I love that. Dora toys always have.
Yeah, Dora's another big backpack connection.
Yeah. And so then the same thing, I walk through it with the initial T, D, and N, walk through it with H, walk through it with W, did the same with her two-syllable words, and then those other later developing sounds that she had. So how successful has it been with taking the ideas? And again, none of these words probably were words that you've never, ever used with the kid. They're just you know, just looking at it in a little more structured, a little more methodical way, it probably, when you looked at it, you probably thought, oh, yeah, that's, yeah, I can use this with this toy, right?
Right. Well, honestly, I'm going to say initially the first 2 weeks, I mean, I really targeted a number of these that were that you suggested pretty hard, and I was thinking, it's just not working. It's just not working. Some of them, actually, that you suggested, she did really have. Like, well, and she's kind of classic.
You just didn't have it on the list. Yes.
Right. She's also classically apraxic in, like, I. She used to have I pretty consistently. Then she lost it.
Now, right. Did she get it back?
Yes. Then she had on this list. And her mom had even said something, you know, a month ago about she used to say I really well and all the time, and she hasn't said it in a while. So, again, it was a reminder for me to go back there, you know, because she had lost it. She does that.
Right.
So, anyway, last week, I'm so glad we were delayed. See, it's good that we didn't have the show during the game because that gave me an extra week to target.
To work,
And I look at it before I go in there. I'll even take it in with me and kind of have it sitting there just in case, like, okay, sneak a peek. What aren't you doing?
I do that all the time with kids. I mean, sometimes when I'm driving to their house, I'll think, okay, I should really – she did this last week, and this is a new word, and this is kind of a new pattern. So let me just, as I drive, if I'm not talking on the phone, I'm thinking, what toys do I have and what words can fit into that pattern? And I might jot those down on the way in just to remind myself, try this, because if I don't – a lot of times I'll forget. I'll get back out to the car and think, why didn't I even try that? Or I'm sitting in there thinking, I was supposed to grab whatever toy because I was going to work on this, and if I didn't leave myself a little note, I would have forgotten about it. So that was great that you did that, that you take it in.
But then last week, well, one thing that I've pushed a lot, and I know Mom has done a real nice job reinforcing it, is please, and she's getting that pretty darn well now. Last week she had one of those wonderful sessions. And with this child, as with lots of our kids, certainly lots of our apraxic kids, I know within the first 2 minutes, okay, I'm going to earn my money today. It's not one of her better
days.
It's
hard. Yeah.
Or, oh, she's really on. You know, this,
right.
Oh, she got that. You know, listen to that. And last week was the, ooh, this is a good session. And she was really on. So
right.
She got, like, please really well. She popped out
open. Now
how's
she saying it? Is she doing... What approximation is she using for please?
Last week,
is she doing a please or has she got an L?
She had it last week. I don't even know. I shouldn't even say this live. But anymore, Laura, sometimes on these really, really kids who, you know, it's hard. And, you know, I find sometimes I've even gone to sometimes with a kid that presents like her, not all my kids, but a child, I feel like if I don't lower the standard here a little bit, you aren't going to get anything close to it. And so
right.
I have gone to doing P's over please. Sometimes I'll do that. I'll just.
And drop. You know who would tell you to do it that way? Nancy Kaufman.
I know. I don't know that much about her, but I know that she advocates, sometimes you got it, and that's what I do with please.
Do
on
word
kids.
Simplification.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So she had been getting P's, but last week she got an L in it. And I was like, oh, my gosh, she said, please. And she said it a number of times. I mean, I worked it in. You know, that's an easy word to work in.
Right.
The other one she got that was, I know, I was like in shock, and Mom was too. She was sitting right there. Open. And she normally her thing for open would be maybe something like, puh. You know what I mean? She'd just get a P out.
Way off. Yeah.
Like, okay. And she can do out and she can do O, but I could not get open. Last week it was open. I was like, whoa. You know, she got that really well.
Yeah. Multisyllabic, two different syllable shapes there. You've got just a vowel and then you've got a syllable, you know, the P-E-N. It's funny how kids, though, sometimes can look, you know, can just pop that out. So that's great that she could do that. And because she could do that, then I would think, okay, what other words would be similar, would have that same syllable shape, you know, for open? What can I introduce that would be like that? But go ahead. I'm digressing, as usual.
Oh, that's okay. I'm trying to think, looking at this list. Like I said, a number of them she really does have, and sometimes I don't know. At what point she has a couple of default, she that's like too, just like everything with the Praxis kids.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's kind of this spurty P sound, that kind of thing where she's just kind of, you know, that's the default.
Popping it out there, yeah.
And then another, sometimes she'll, and she kind of goes for a couple weeks, this is the go-to default word, not that I think she's using it, but that's how it fires out of her little mouth. She'll do kind of a guttural G thing, goop. You know, this. And, you know, I don't necessarily, if I'm modeling a word and I get that, I don't really count that as, oh, she tried to say it. I just think, ooh, that was a total default response. If she comes anywhere close, I think, okay, I'll
at count
least mentally
that.
Credit that for she came close on that. So, I guess
sometimes it's the vowel. Sometimes it's if you'll start to kind of look at that. And, again, this is so technical. You may just think, well, forget that. I'm not going to sit there and try to think that hard. Sometimes it's that they can do the initial consonant, but only in the context that it's a particular vowel would make it easier for them to say. So if you were going to be really technical, that might be something that you would think about. Okay, can she do that pharyngeal or guttural G? What vowels can she do that with? And, again, you have to sit there kind of with your toys and rationalize or kind of, you know, think on your feet with, okay, how can we use that word in context so that it makes sense for her to say it? But, again, that's easier said than done, because sometimes I'll sit there and, you know, I've been thinking about words this way for darn near 20 years and still come up with, okay, I'm spending too much mental time on this. I got to move on. You know, this is, she doesn't have the sound today. It doesn't matter what vowel I try to think of it with. I don't have a good toy to elicit that. It's not going to be meaningful out, you know, if I don't have some way that I can work this word in, you know, move on. But that's another thing for you to think about is what vowel you've got the initial consonant with. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, so anyway, that's kind of where we are. I mean, I would say that some
she's
of them...
So she's added some of them. And
yes.
She's added, she's getting some back that she lost. And
right.
Losing words, we do see that in histories of children who have motor planning issues. We also see it in histories of children with who go on to later be diagnosed with autism, but this little girl is nowhere near on the spectrum, right?
No.
Yeah.
She does have a little bit of sensory stuff, nothing that extreme.
Right.
She's a picky eater, you know, nothing huge.
Yeah.
But nothing
right.
about her would make me think spectrum. No. She's
right.
pretty social.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up about the losing word thing.
Right.
Because a lot of people only associate that with autism, and even though that is a very big red flag for autism, we also see it in histories of children with motor planning issues. So I wanted to highlight that too. So what are you working on when you're in therapy? You're just trying to get words that she's inconsistently produced in the past. That would might be a direction I would go if I've heard a word or time or two. I would think, okay, I'm really going to push this and see if I can kind of get her over the hump and make it more spontaneous or at least more consistently imitated. Because a lot of times, don't you feel, Kate, that a kid has to imitate a word for several sessions before they really own it and can say it spontaneously?
Oh, definitely. She's somebody who does.
Yeah,
so revisiting words that I have done but haven't
right.
pushed in a while. And then I guess...
What about those little holistic phrases? Is she trying to do some of those? And by holistic phrase, I mean it's technically two words, but really when you look at how the kid uses it and what they mean by it, they use it as one long word. Is she getting some of those?
You know, I've tried some. One that I have been able to, it's not on your list, but I have been able to get her to do is see ya. She can do see ya instead of bye-bye.
And that makes sense because she has the word see.
Uh-huh.
So that would be a great, yeah, I can't believe I missed that.
Well, she does get that, and that was, you know, we've had that for about a month. Her mom about had...
Cool.
A heart attack when I got her to see ya, and she does it real cute. But
that's
some
a cute
of the ones that I've pushed that I think, now come on, this should be easy. But
she can't do it for whatever reason.
It. No, like, boom, that one I've done a lot. But, you know, I don't know that I've ever really gotten her to do boom, boom, boom. And I do boom, 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 or just boom early with kids.
And she hasn't done it, even with the ball toy and the hammer?
Oh, Laura, I'm telling you. Part of it is it's like her, I told you, she's this kind of very passive, controlled
dainty little
girl. Yes.
Yeah.
She's just, and boom, and that's, you know, early on when her mom said, oh, we never really play like that. You know, interesting, like a lot of our kids, daddy's plays more like typical daddies do. He's more physical, and they
right.
know, tend to get on the floor and wrestle. And some of her biggest breakout words have been with dad because he's got her.
There
up.
You go.
Yeah. And I have, you know, talked to mom about, yeah, that's there's a reason for that. And, you know, it'd be great if you could get her kind of warmed up before I get here so that she's her arousal level is a little higher and she's had some movement, some activity, and the problem is mom just had a baby. So
it's
kind of
hard
to do too
yeah.
much. Of
and that's
all
understandable.
That. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's a great mom. I'm not saying it's just, you know, I get there at 10 in the morning and who knows what may have happened the night before with the baby. And
right.
So sometimes she's able to do it and sometimes she's not. But
right.
So I'm trying to think. I have tried a number of those and I can't say that any of those that are on the list I've gotten yet, but...
The holistic phrases, but I bet
yeah.
that you will. And and the other thing is the closer her spontaneous vocabulary gets to 50 words, the easier it's going to be for her even to be able to do the holistic phrases because research tells us that when children get that magic number of words in their vocabularies, which is right around 50, they start to spontaneously combine words into phrases. Now, sometimes our kids with motor planning issues need a lot more words than 50 before they're able to sequence that. And so if she's having real sequencing issues, you know, that may not hold true for a kid like her. Because I've had apraxic kids that all think, oh, my gosh, you have darn near 100 words. Come on already.
Mm-hmm.
And they just can't sequence it. So then when that happens, you back up and you do some other kind of in-between steps to get them over that sequencing hump. But she's not really there yet because she's just not there yet, is she?
Well, you know, some things she can do, like she can do up, more,
can
more,
she?
more. Her more is more like ma, but it's
yeah.
She'll do ma for more.
Uh-huh.
Trying to think what it, I mean.
And she's got some two-syllable words. She's got mama, dada, bubble, uh-oh, bye-bye, night-night, backpack. So she's getting close. And she's got her see ya. So
right.
That should be coming on in.
A few times she went through a phase for about a week and a half where she was doing hi, daddy, and then that
uh-huh.
disappeared. You know, they were thrilled
yeah.
about that, and then nope, hadn't done it since. But
and
I'm surprised if she's a kid who goes to phrases seamlessly. You know, I think
right.
it's going to be a step for her, and it's going to be
yeah.
targeted, focused work. I just don't, I mean, you never know. I mean,
you never know.
Parents always want to know, and I always say anymore, the longer I do this, the less convinced I am that I can predict. I mean, she's bright,
yeah.
but obviously
it's crystal
not
ball.
Easy
yeah.
for her, or
right.
we would be further along. On the other hand,
right.
she made definite, real progress. I just would be surprised, but she may be a kid who's surprised. I hope she is, but I hope they
I hope
all
she
are
is
really.
Too.
No, you know.
I know, and I marvel at that. I think, you know, neurological development right in front of me, you know.
Yeah.
How cool is that? You know, it feels like a miracle every single time when a kid kind of gets over a hump like that. Okay, well, we're going to keep talking about her over the next few weeks so that you can
okay.
tell us how she progresses
okay.
and how it goes with being pretty intentional about turning her occasional imitations into more consistent imitations and then see if those words come on in spontaneously. And then how she's doing with more two-syllable words and just what other new stuff you get from her. So that'll be interesting to kind of follow her progression. A real-life kid with
a real-life
therapist.
Real-life kid. Now, update.
Yeah.
You know, this was interesting, Laura. The mom said to me last week, like I said, she had a good session. I mean, it was like, ooh, big day.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled because I was thinking, oh, what am I going to say when we have to talk about this? And I have to say she really hasn't made much progress with my list. But she has now better. I mean, you know, it's definitely like, ooh, that was a big day. But, you know, mom told me after, because I blurted out probably 20 minutes into the session, something like, you know, oh, blank, you're having a really great day. You know, I was like real up, of course, because I'm always thrilled
yeah.
when you're having those great sessions. But mom said to me, you know, it's really interesting because I was thinking she would have a bad session because she got up really early. And I thought, you know, haven't you had apraxic kids that they almost do better when they're a little bit tired?
A little bit tired because it's like I've worn them down.
Yes,
they don't
I know.
Have much resistance to me today.
Yes. and I have really wondered that about her for a long time. You know,
yeah.
I wonder if she, because I see her at 10 o'clock.
But see, you know what our OT friends would probably tell us about that is she had enough time to really regulate. You
right.
know what I mean? She was up. She wasn't doing any of the whole, okay, I've got to get it in gear, because those low arousal kids sometimes, you know, oh gosh, you can just, they look like they're in slow motion. To ever kind of get them going. And
mm-hmm.
so maybe she had already done that and then just kind of leveled out, you know,
right.
where she was really finally regulated.
Right. I mean, I was, whenever I'm kind of scratching my head about a kid thinking, okay, what can I do to make it a little better, you know, be a little bit more focused on the next step, sometimes I do think
right.
maybe change at the time. Sometimes kids...
Yeah.
You know, and she's had a good spot as far as most kids, but
right.
apraxic kids seem to be kind of this little subcategory, and you don't want them so exhausted that they're falling apart, but sometimes
right.
a little worn out is kind of good, and it is almost like, and I don't even think it's, I don't know if I think of it as like it's a conscious resistance on their part, but
right.
you know how...
I don't think about it like that, yeah.
No, we're always balancing between we got to put communicative pressure on them, But, gee, when you put communicative pressure on a practice of kids, that makes it harder.
They kind of shut down. Yeah, but so you need her in a better place to begin with.
Right.
And so, I
said, wow, she's having a really great day today. And Mom said, oh, you know, isn't that weird? Because she got up at 5:30, and I was thinking it was going to be bad. And, you know, Mom was very aware of, I'm like hooting and hollering, doing my, yay, you know, oh, man, oh, my. You know, I was so excited because it was like, wow, this is a really good day for her. And I thought, yeah, I've kind of wondered for a while if a little bit tired for her wouldn't be kind of a good thing. So I don't know.
So she might need to be a lunchtime kid.
Yep, she might need to be. I don't know if I'm going to try and work that out. Or
if that would work for you,
yeah. That's the thing. But
well,
and
that's another
sure.
thing.
Not sure Mom would really, you know, it may work, it may
right.
not. But that may be something
right.
because definitely last week she was on, you know, just really.
Well,
moved.
And that might give Mom a little more incentive to want to change the appointment to a less than desirable time. And then I might get a little bit more from her just because of where she is in her day and kind of her regulation cycle. But really it doesn't, I mean, especially at the beginning, you want to see a kid at the most optimal time for Mom and the kid to make it easier and getting the whole therapy routine down. But sometimes you do need to do those little changes. Or sometimes if a mom tells me your hour, you know, he does better during this time, you know, especially once I've kind of moved a kid along, but then I'm not getting any of these results through any other time of the day or the rest of the week. I nearly always try to change a kid like that if I can, change their time, because I think I got to get you to where you're doing this more consistently, not just during therapy. You know, you got to be able to pop this stuff out even when, you know, it's not speech therapy time. So for, you know, and this is just for our therapist friends that are listening, sometimes you have to move a time so that you can get a kid moving along in a different part of the day, too. So that's another rationale for switching a time as well. But that's usually after you get kids moving along. And if you start, you know, oh, my gosh, he's doing so great. I'm so excited. And Mom goes, well, he's
really
nice.
Only
oh,
the hour you're
do.
Here. Oh.
Yeah. I know. And which is great, but at the same time, you think, okay, that's not why I'm here. He's got to be able to do it the whole rest of the how many ever hours there are in a week, too. He can't just do it during speech, even though that makes you feel good and successful and yay. But at the same time, why are we doing this if he can't carry it over? So sometimes you have to move kids' times to accommodate that particular issue. So it's always something with our interesting jobs, isn't it?
Well, thankfully, she had a great week. I'm hoping we have another one. If I go another couple weeks and we, you know, don't continue on the upswing, I think I may really think about saying, well, let's make it an hour later. Let's make it an hour and a half later and see if, because I have wondered that with her before, just thinking she maybe just hasn't been up long enough or the resistance is a little too great still at 10. If I saw her at 11:30, we may...
Yeah.
You know, not
it may be a little easier.
Right. So anyway, we had a great week, and I will continue to hammer these words home, hoping that they'll stick and she'll get them, and I can share good news about her. So
well, that'll
it certainly
be
helped
yeah,
me. It helped me, and it helped Mom. And in the big picture, you know, I guess particularly helping Mom is very beneficial.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. And it lets her know that you have a plan.
Yeah.
That it's not just, hey, I'm going to go play with your kid for an hour.
Yeah.
It's that you're walking in with a plan and that this is based loosely anyway on science and on research and on, gee, I thought about this a little bit and didn't just wag my toys in your house and sit down here. You know, there's a little bit of method to my madness here. So that they know where you're going. And it makes it a little easier then, I think, for moms when you have those off weeks, even if you had several off weeks in a row, which happens for a lot of apraxic kids, they do kind of plateau and get stuck, that mom knows, okay, she's given me this outline here, and this is where we're going to go with this. And I might not always do that kind of structure planning that we did for this kid, you know, just for the purpose of the show, but I might sit there during the session and write a little list for mom and say, these are the words I want you to work on this week, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And I think moms enjoy that. Even if they aren't highly successful in eliciting those words, they still, again, feel like, okay, there's a plan here. Mm-hmm. She's thinking about this. So that was good. I'm glad that worked out.
Yeah, it did. Like I said, it helped all of us, and hopefully we will continue to chip away at those try this words, because we're trying
yeah.
them.
Good. Good deal. And sometimes, too, you do have to kind of plan your toys based on that, too, don't you? You have to stand at the car and go, what am I going to take in today? Yeah.
Right. And she can be a kid who kind of is kind of particular about what she wants to play, and, you know, she'll shut
right.
me down pretty quick if she's not that interested, but I continue to whittle away at that as well, so we're
yeah.
we're getting there.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
All right. We had another question to do today, but we're out of time. We're at the end of the hour, so we're going to do that next week. And it's kind of a similar situation in that this new speech pathologist has emailed me and said, okay, I have a kid that's having a really hard time bumping up to phrases. But he loves zoo animals. And she wanted me to give her some ideas to do with zoo animals, plus target some phrases. And I had some specific ideas for that and some other things for her to really think about based on what she sent to me. So her name was Emma, and we will start with Emma's from Australia's email next week. Oh, actually, she said she's a student. So that'll be good for us to kind of talk about that next week. So next week we'll kind of talk about vocabulary selection in the context of bumping up to phrases. And hopefully I asked Emma some questions about this guy. Hopefully she will have had time to respond from clear on the other side of the world.
Isn't that cool?
I know, it's really cool. So we'll get some more information about him and be able to give her some different ideas for next week. So next week it'll be all about the zoo. So, Kate, play with your zoo animals this week so you'll have some new creative ideas to share with us on that.
I will try. I seem to do more farm animals than zoo animals.
I do zoo animals a lot, but really, and this is a kind of a shadow for next week's show, zoo animals are hard, aren't they? Their names are hard. And so unless you have a talker, that is going to be a really tough sell. So we'll have some ideas of how to make some of those easier and what I would do in those situations. But if you have a kid that's hard to play with that only likes zoo animals, then you put your thinking cap on and you think, how can I overcome these challenges? So that's what next week's show will be about.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
Okay. Talk to you
Bye-bye.
Next Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Bye.
Okay. Bye.